This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
The news of the day, Elon Musk taking over Twitter. What does that mean? What should you take from it? We'll get to that tonight. Plus manners and more coming up on I'm Right. Welcome to I'm Right. Time to talk about big tech.
Twitter has become kind of the de facto town square. It's just really important that people have both the reality and the perception that they are able to speak freely within the bounds of the law.
Elon Musk, richest man in the world. It's obviously the news of the day. You've been hearing it all day. Buying Twitter, $54.20 a share. So either way, I could afford about two shares. But what does this mean for you? We're going to get to an expert here in just a second. I'll just give you my thoughts on it briefly. Remember, we are culturally surrounded. They own every single institution. Because of that, you and me, we're always looking around for someone to come bail us out of that situation. And so we're going to fall in love often with whatever the new thing is, whoever the new person is who comes in and blows up the system. It was Trump for a while. Remember, it was Joe Rogan for about 15 minutes. Now it's Elon Musk. That's not me bad-mouthing Elon Musk. The guy's got an IQ of about 90,000, apparently wants free speech. That's good. Just don't ever man-worship and you'll be a lot safer, all right? Don't ever man-worship. We'll see how this works out. I am enjoying the communist reaction to it. They're freaking out. And a lot of people can't understand why they'd be freaking out. Well, he's buying it, he's taking it public, and he said he wants free speech. Who would freak out about free speech? What you have to understand about the communists is this, and I'm not trying to put them down for once. You have to think about them like robots. No, they're not robots, they're people, but you have to think about them like robots. There are people out there, not you, not me, but there are people out there, they want to be told what to think, what to do, where to go, what to eat. You can't relate to that at all. I can't relate to that at all, but there are lots of them. All the people who went from Mr. Vaccine to Mr. Ukraine in the course of about 5 minutes because the system told them to, there's a lot of those people out there. And when you're dealing with a robot, you have to stay within the parameters of the robot's programming or he short circuits. That's why communists will freak out the second you can start asking them basic probing questions more than an inch deep. They'll freak, they'll call you a Nazi, they'll lie, they'll storm off. Why? Well, you've gone outside of their programming. They don't want to hear other points of view because they don't have any depth of their point of view. And here's the hard part to understand. They don't want a deeper understanding. They have everything they need. It's what's been fed to them on a nice little lunch tray, and they just want to sit down and eat their lunch. Joining me now to talk about Elon and what that means and everything else is Kara Frederick, my friend, research fellow for the technology policy at the Heritage Foundation. She's also a former Facebook employee. Okay, Kara, that's my little rant on it. You obviously know this arena a whole lot better than I ever will. What did you wake up and think when you saw, wow, he's buying it?
Well, first, Jesse, I wouldn't sell yourself short. I mean, you're exactly right when it comes to the man worship. As the Bible said, right? Put not your faith in princes. So I think it's the fact that it's gotten this bad when we have to look to a South African-born billionaire to bail us out. Not even a bona fide conservative, mind you, but he's the one who says he's going to protect American citizens from censorship. This says all you need to know about the state of free speech in this country. It's great, but it's not a scalable strategy when it comes to all of these digital platforms. Yeah, I'd love to clone him, but at this point, we need policy changes as well as technical ones. But my reaction when I woke up this morning, and this pretty much blew up my day, is to say, okay, I'm confident, I'm pretty sanguine about this, but I'm not getting my hopes up too high. However, some of the changes that he could make could be quite radical if he actually puts his money where his mouth is, right? So Elon says that it's a free speech is a societal imperative for a functioning democracy. He recently tweeted out that he wants his biggest critics to actually stay on Twitter. That is great. At this point, Twitter has, and its censorship policies, its content moderation policies, has nowhere to go but up. So that's a good start. Let's have a commitment to radical transparency. Show your work when it comes to content moderation practices, past, present, and future. And we're already leaps and bounds ahead of the Facebooks of the world, the YouTubes of the world, and all those other big five, big tech company digital platforms that are basically censoring conservatives and heterodox thinkers writ large.
Okay, Kara, now, before we get to what can he do, what will he do? I know this is asking you to make a prediction when he hasn't done anything yet. Is this the type of guy who's going to kick in the door and, hey, Donald Trump's Twitter account is back and every communist is censored? What do we expect? What do you expect, I should say?
In terms of censoring every communist, I don't think he's going to go that far. I think he's a classical liberal in the sense that, you know, he wants everybody to have a genuine free exchange of ideas. We know that that's not happening on these digital platforms. So helping to restore that by making those content moderation practices perhaps a little more consistent would be a start. In terms of predictions and reinstatement of Trump, I would love for him to do it. He likes to shake things up. You know, this guy is your classic Silicon Valley disruptor, as we used to say. So yeah, it would be great if he strode out and was like, let's reinstate Trump. Let's reinstate Marjorie Taylor Greene. We're not going to have any of, you know, the Babylon Bee being suspended, Representative Jim Banks being suspended for saying a man is a man and a woman is a woman. So those are the kinds of things that I expect to be sort of implemented. Maybe not Trump. That might be going too far. Maybe it's too much, too fast, but I would love to see that happen. And I think give him a couple weeks. Things might change a little bit, but we're not going to see these massive overhauls that everybody wants to see. I expect him, and other people have said this on Twitter right now, he might bring Jack Dorsey back in for some sort of role as well. We know that he was unceremoniously booted before, and the new CEO, Parag Agrawal, he was the one who said, our role is not to be bound by the First Amendment. Now, Jack wasn't super efficacious when he was in his role as CEO. I think a lot of his instincts got overruled by some of those shareholders, by some of those board members and institutional shareholders like the BlackRocks and the Vanguards and certain personalities. But I think Jack Dorsey might have a recurring role when it comes to this. But I also don't think that this is going to be the, you know, bastion of free speech of the entire world. I think it's going to be incremental progress, but I think it'll be, again, nowhere to go but up.
Okay, if Jack got overruled by all the other people, then why won't Elon Musk be overruled by all the other people?
because he could get rid of the board. He could fire a lot of the people who are existing. He could look at CEO Parag Agrawal. He could be in Elon Musk crosshairs. I think they have very differing interpretations of how the First Amendment should be used. You know, I do believe that Elon Musk is going to follow some of his Silicon Valley leaders, like the CEO of Coinbase, Brian Armstrong, who said the First Amendment will be our guiding principle for content moderation policies going forward. So I could see Elon doing something like that. And that stands in stark contrast to what Parag Agrawal has been saying. So if he cuts into the board, gets rid of the CEO, has somebody else come in, maybe he takes advice from Jack Dorsey, who actually does, I think, have instincts towards more content on the platform, more user control. I think that's critical. He's talked about open sourcing the algorithm, which would be a big one. You know, it'd give us insight into that black box, and it wouldn't allow us to hide behind those excuses. Oh, it's the algorithm. It's the algorithm. It's not human error. So I think those are a couple things that he can do, and I think getting rid of some of the board's influence would go a long way to actually helping him implement those changes.
Speaking of open sourcing algorithm, I don't even speak this smart person's language. Here's Elon talking about it.
One of the things that I believe Twitter should do is open source the algorithm and make any changes to people's tweets, you know, if they're emphasized or de-emphasized, that action should be made apparent so anyone can see that that action has been taken. So there's no sort of behind the scenes manipulation, either algorithmically or manually.
Kara, what does that mean for those of us who went to community college? Open sourcing an algorithm? I don't even know what those things mean.
Yep. So it means laying bare to a community, in this case, us, the American people, of how that code actually works. So remember when Facebook made a big change to the algorithm in 2018 and they wanted to maximize user engagement, but we had no idea that that was happening until the whistleblower leaked documents last fall. So Elon is basically saying we would know in real time when those changes are made, when your account is suppressed, when your views start to go down, you would know exactly why that's happening because you would get access to the code. So open sourcing things, this is a Silicon Valley ethos, or at least it used to be. You'd have a bunch of people around the world sort of open sourcing software and tinkering with it. So that means everyone gets a crack at this. Everyone can see exactly how this code works. They can manipulate it if they want it. Twitter's not going to go that far. They're not going to allow us to, you know, these people who aren't even real programmers tinker with it at all. But at least we'll see what is going on. And then important element of that too is you've probably heard of shadow banning, deranking, and all these other technical terms that basically increase or decrease the visibility of your content. Elon is saying that you are going to know, as the American people, as users, you are going to know why that's happening. If you're being suppressed, if you're being shadow banned, if your content is being deranked, you're going to know because the code is going to be there for you to see. So they're not going to be able to say this was a human reviewer error. They've been hiding behind a lot of that before for their censorship. If they build code, if they've got certain trigger words in there that are frankly biased in nature, because we all know humans design these algorithms, then you are going to find out. It's that radical transparency that he's been talking about that thus far we've been having to push Congress to try to get these companies to do it. So I think it's really critical if tech companies take it upon themselves to institute this type of transparency. Haven't seen it yet. We'll see if he gets overruled, but it's a pretty radical idea, and I'm hoping that he follows through.
You mentioned at the beginning that you weren't confident like Facebook's going to go this route or whatnot. Can you, for those of us who don't know, what's the most powerful social media platform? Are there bigger ones than Twitter or Facebook? Is Facebook by a mile the biggest? I'm trying to understand if this is a win, if it turns out to be a win, how big of a win is it?
So it depends, because there's size in terms of daily active users, monthly active users, there's reach, and there's influence. So some of these companies are bigger. Facebook's bigger. They have around 3 billion users across the globe. And Twitter, you know, when I was working at Facebook, we considered Twitter the little guy on the block. We didn't even check their stock prices because they couldn't even compete with us. But at the same time, you look at the quote-unquote intelligentsia of America, of the world, and these guys are all on Twitter. When you have Ron Klain, the chief of staff for Joe Biden, all over Twitter, getting his radical leftist ideas from these people with two followers who are taking down, say, advertisements like the Daily Wire guys. Remember how they started their new razor company? And it was because they had a two-person follower account basically target them for one of the things their commentator said. So it has outsized influence in that way, even though it's maybe not the most used platform when it comes to daily active users at all. So there's bigger platforms than Twitter, but I would say the people, the journalists who people are unfortunately moving the world and dictating some of our policy options of and ideas are all sitting here on this platform. So it matters in that regard, and it has inordinate influence, I'd say. So this would be a massive win for free speech. This is a bastion of the lefties. Everyone knows that more Democrats, more leftists are on Twitter than conservatives at all, because a lot of the times we're getting kicked off. But at the same time, you have up-and-comers like TikTok. They are huge. That platform's huge when it comes to the youth. But I'd say Twitter, in terms of policy effects, matters a lot. So this would be a great win in that regard.
Kara Frederick, thank you so much for coming on, making us smarter.
Always, Jesse.
All right. The religion of communism. Something sad, shocking happened. Just hang on, I'll get to that in a second. Before I get to that, though, obviously we're thrilled, right? That looks like there's a company out there that's not going to be owned by people who hate you and who hate me. But what other companies are out there? You go out, you shop, you need goods, you need services. You probably went somewhere this weekend. Where'd you go? Public SQ is here to help you. It's right in the App Store. Your Apple Store, your Google Play, whatever you got, go download Public SQ. What you're going to find there, you're going to find the businesses that agree with you and the ones that don't. You want to know where you should go buy coffee, tires, which plumber should you call? Go to Public SQ. They'll tell you how to put your money where your morals are. We'll be back. You ever see one of those videos, or I hope you haven't seen a video, I have, but have you ever seen at least a picture of a monk, Buddhist monk, setting himself on fire? If you've seen those, it's happened in other places too, but almost undoubtedly where you saw that happening was actually in South Vietnam, when North Vietnam was against South Vietnam. Remember, North Vietnam sucked, but South Vietnam was a disaster too. The government was just totally corrupt. It was terrible, and these Buddhist monks, they dedicated themselves to killing themselves by fire. You ever burned yourself on the stove? You have any idea what it would feel like to burn alive, let alone to do that to yourself on purpose? How religiously committed to something do you have to be to burn yourself alive on purpose? I tell you all the time that communism is a religion. And I really want you to understand, I'm not doing that for TV. When I say it to you on the radio, I'm not doing that just because it sounds good. That's how these people think. These people are as devout to their religion as you are to theirs. And if you undersell them on that, if you don't think they are, we're never going to be able to defeat them. We have got to understand and accept what we are up against here. Did you see what happened over the weekend? In Washington, D.C., on the steps of the Supreme Court, a man torched himself alive. Why? Why would he do such a thing? In the name of what? Is it government corruption? No. This man lit himself on fire to, make sure I have this right, bring attention to climate change. That thing you probably don't even believe in, I certainly don't. He lit himself on fire, turned himself into a human torch to bring attention to climate change. Remember something. As committed as you are to getting gas prices lower, to bringing down the cost of food, to making your life more affordable, these people are that committed and more to making sure your life is amazingly expensive and you'll never be able to afford gas again. They'll light themselves on fire because of it. We have to understand and accept we are up against religious extremists. We are not up against Democrats. We are up against communists who will do anything to see final victory. And not only will they do anything to themselves, they'll do anything to you. You remember that Washington Post Taylor Lorenz story from last week where she took an anonymous Twitter account, Libs of TikTok it's called. It's a good account, by the way. But an anonymous Twitter account. And remember, Libs of TikTok, they don't provide commentary, really. They just take these videos that are on TikTok of these crazy teachers, and these teachers publicize these videos, and Libs of TikTok will take these videos and put them on Twitter. That's it. Hey, here's what the teachers are saying. And the Washington Post and Taylor Lorenz were so outraged that Libs of TikTok was exposing these teachers, they actually doxed the person behind the account, publicly revealed their information. And when you and me, I mean, I did a show on it last week when we looked at this and we were horrified, right? We looked around and we thought, what kind of monster? You expose this person to death threats? Oh, and they did more than that. Other people who share that person's name are getting death threats. So we're all terrified. I'm horrified by it. What kind of a monster does these things? Well, here's how sorry Taylor Lorenz is about doing it.
I think it's rare to see an account gain so much prominence so quickly and be shaping these narratives in such an effective way, especially against trans people. My story was kind of long, but I really wanted to make the case, like, why this account mattered. And I think it's incredibly important, you know, as someone that covers the influencer industry, to know who is exerting influence in this way. I mean, for all we knew, this could have been a foreign actor, right? Or someone we just didn't know.
Oh, she explained herself very well at the beginning of that clip. Why would you dig into a anonymous account? Person wants to remain anonymous in an anonymous account that's simply publicizing videos that were already public. Why would you write an article for one of the biggest newspapers in the country and expose this person's private information? Why would you do that? Oh, well, look, this account had a lot of influence. Oh, okay, but that's not a reason. That's not a reason for you. In the mind of that person, it is. No, this account was against my religion. This account was a heretic. What have religions done historically to heretics who speak out against their religions? What's been done to heretics? Well, it was very similar to what the guy did to himself on the Supreme Court steps. Speaking of communists, here's Randy Weingarten, head of the teachers union that's been abusing your children for the last 2 years.
Fame, it's this notion. And look, we're, you know, we've been very lucky in America, and we in some ways live in a bubble for a long time. This is propaganda.
Yep.
This is misinformation. This is the way in which wars start. This is the way in which hatred starts.
Yeah, I do hate you. If you're that was heard, by the way, speaking about the parents' rights bill in Florida. The bill that simply said, don't talk to my kindergarten about changing his gender. That's all it said. That's how wars start. Lady, if you believe you should be able to take my sons away from me, and when you get them in school, you want to talk to them about sex and gender, we are at war. All right. We still have a great show for you tonight. We have John Cardillo coming up next. We have coverage of that National Guard guy who died, much, much more, and a great lesson in manners tonight. But before we get to that, let's talk about allergy season. I talked to my buddy Luis over the weekend, and he was across town. He said he had slept at his parents' house for a couple nights. They had a big family get-together, and he came out to his truck at the end of the weekend, and there was just a yellow film over his truck. He said he got in and started driving, and it was blowing like it was smoke off of his car. Allergy season's here. I know you struggle with it. Everyone does at this point in time. Get yourself a few Eden Pure thunderstorms and know what real relief is. Relief that doesn't come in pill form. It's just an air purifier, only it's the greatest one ever. It's not some big tower. It's just this little black thing. Goes right in the wall. It's not super loud. You don't even ever have to replace the filter, but it cleans your air continuously in your home. I don't own one. I owned one at the beginning. Now I own three of them. That's how great the thing is. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use the code Jesse, and that gets you a three-pack for under $200. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse. We'll be back.
Most of the books that did not meet Florida standards for whatever reason happened to be in the early grades. As you get into the older grades, most of those books did meet the standards, but we're going to continue to focus the education on the actual strong academic performance of the students. We don't want things like math to have, you know, some of these other concepts introduced. It's not been proven to be effective, and quite frankly, it takes our eye off the ball.
What? Are they banning books? What's going on in Florida? This is an outrage. Joining me now, my friend John Cardillo. He's a TV host, also a Florida resident who may know a bit more about this than most. What books are they getting rid of down there, John?
They're getting rid of a bunch of books that shouldn't be in schools in the first place, Jesse. And let me just say this. Ron DeSantis deserves a Medal of Freedom for being the only Republican politician willing to take on and call out one of the most evil people in America, one of the people most responsible for what I consider serial child abuse in the United States, Randy Weingarten, the head of the American Federation of Teachers. What she's done to students over the last 2 years of COVID is absolutely reprehensible. The DeSantis took her on, and these are textbooks that have infused critical race theory, inappropriate sexual content into STEM education. It's a woke backdoor intrusion of the worst kind into the school system. Even worse, Jesse, targeting little kids, kindergartners, first graders, second graders, third graders. DeSantis is so right on this and so far ahead of the curve. He's the model every Republican should be following. And the question is, why aren't they?
Okay, John. Why aren't they? I mean, look, it's not like Heavy D's pulling these moves and we're all chucking rotten tomatoes at him. He's pulling these moves and he's becoming quickly the leader of the Republican Party. If not, he's very close. These are working. Why isn't every Republican doing the same?
They're afraid. They're gutless cucks, like I used to call them, gutless cuckolds. They are terrified. Look, today, Kevin McCarthy, the weakest Republican in leadership in years, far weaker than Paul Ryan. We now know that the January 6th committee, that sham committee, recently broke, leaked thousands, 2,000 plus confidential text messages to CNN. Where's the Republican majority leader on this? Where is the worst GOP chair in history, Ronna McDaniel? Why isn't every Republican in America standing up and screaming? Because they are useless and gutless. The establishment GOP is worse for the right, for the America First movement, than the Democrats. At least if we see the Democrats coming and we can raise money off them. The establishment GOP, they're enemies.
Okay, John, you mentioned Randy Weingarten, and this I'll be confused about to my dying day. I understand teachers' unions decided they wanted to get paid to stay home and do nothing during COVID. I get that. But how could they be so dumb as to not realize all that poison they'd been putting in schools? They only got to do that because parents didn't know. Did they really not realize that that was their bread and butter?
I don't think they cared. They've been so powerful for so long. You got to remember something. Randy Weingarten's closest ally, one of them, but I think arguably her closest, is Hillary Clinton. They are friends going back for decades. In fact, Hillary announced her 2000 Senate run on stage with Weingarten. So this woman has had such tremendous and absolute power inside the Democratic Party now for decades. She didn't care. Democrats control the schools, they control the unions. She could get away with whatever she wanted until Loudoun County, Virginia became newsworthy. And that became the beginning of the end for Randy Weingarten's reign of power, but also her reign of propaganda and locking down dissent. And I just think we need to expose these people night and day. Guys out there like Corey DeAngelis and Chris Rufo are doing an awesome job, and they need air cover from the rest of us with some influence and with somewhat of a platform.
John, Joe Biden had something interesting to say. It actually got me thinking over the weekend, and Joe Biden rarely has something interesting to say, but this made me think.
We have virtually no Republicans. There's some. We get up to as many as 7 or 8 will vote. This ain't your father's Republican Party. Not a joke, you know, but all kidding aside, this is a MAGA party now. It's, you know, you got the senator from Texas and others. These guys are a different breed of cat. They're not like what I served with for so many years. And the people who know better are afraid to act correctly because they know they'll be primary. I won't mention any of them. I promised I never would, and I won't, but up to 6 come to me and say, Joe, I want to be with you on such and such, but I can't. I'll be primary. I'll lose my race.
Up to 6. I love that. So that's definitely not a made-up number, and I did enjoy how he forgot Ted Cruz's name there. That was fun. But, okay.
Yeah, his name. He just didn't know his name. Yeah, exactly.
The MAGA party. John, I don't think there's any question Donald Trump is the most popular Republican in America. Every single poll reflects that. I don't think there's any question if Donald Trump ran today against every other Republican, he'd win the primary. However, is that in stone?
I think you're right. I think today, yes, but the primary season's a really long way off. I'd like to see Trump stop relitigating 2020 every day. Look, massive problems in 2020, the scam J6 committee, still going on, but stop relitigating it every day. And Trump also has to stop listening to Sean Hannity. He has to stop listening to Lindsey Graham. He has to rescind his endorsements of Kevin McCarthy, of Ronna McDaniel, because for every day he doesn't, he's enabling those who never want to see him ascend to power again. These people around him are all controlled opposition. And I think the primary is a long way off, Jesse. So it's going to really be seen how he pivots, what he does in terms of strategic messaging, and what people like DeSantis continue to do with their elected power.
John, I understand that Trump and DeSantis are both doing the standard thing politicians do every time there's a primary. No, we love each other. No, we're best friends. They all say that about 5 minutes right before they're ripping each other's throats out. But you're a Florida guy, and I know you're very wired in politically, especially down there. What is the actual relationship between those two?
You know, from what I see, it's not bad. It's not as bad as everyone's making it out to be. It's normal politically adversarial. But I've been around the governor several times. I've been around the former president several times. And I've personally never heard either say a negative word about one another. I've heard DeSantis actually compliment things Trump has done. I've heard Trump say things about DeSantis doing a good job in Florida. Now, look, that's all going to change as we get closer to primary season if they both go in. I think the bad blood is more with staffers jockeying for power and position. But personally, I've not heard either guy say anything derogatory about the other. And I would tell you if I did.
Well, I know you would. That's why I asked. John Cardillo, thank you, my brother. I'll see you soon. I'm coming down next week.
Oh, awesome. Thanks, man.
All right. Now, it's actually a sad story. Something very, very sad happened. Earth Day. You know what? Just buckle up for this, and we'll get to it in a second. Before we get to that, though, where do you get your health insurance? We talk all the time about putting your money where your morals are. Where do you get your health insurance? Have you seen these health insurance companies? Have you seen the things they believe? Have you seen what they think about your values? OneShare Health doesn't think that. OneShare Health loves what you believe. They are a faith-based company. Every single month, 5% of your monthly goes to veterans struggling with PTSD. This is a company that is out there not just to provide great insurance, which they do, vision, dental, health, telehealth, whatever you need. They're out there on a mission for good. And when you go to my.oneshareHealth.com/Kelly and use the promo code Jesse Kelly, you get $75 off your enrollment fee. Go save some money. Feel good about it. We'll be back. A lot of people don't even know the National Guard is currently at the border. They are trying to supplement what the Border Patrol can't take care of and stem the tide of illegal immigration coming into this country. And sadly, we just lost one of them. Bishop Evans was his name. Brave soldier, went out into the Rio Grande to save some people who turned out to be drug traffickers and lost his life. Today, his body was recovered, so at least his family will be able to bury him with honors. And so rest in peace, Mr. Evans. Thank you so much for your sacrifice. Now that's that part of it. Now this is this part. Why haven't you seen it on the news? As far as I can tell, ABC is the only one who covered it at all, and they covered it for about 20 seconds. No one else covers the loss of a soldier on our border protecting this country. Joining me now, my friend Drew Holden. He's the media writer for the Washington Free Beacon. Drew, the silence has been deafening out there on my dial, buddy.
Yeah, Jesse, you and me both. Unfortunately, there has been a lot of silence, and I think a lot of it comes from the top down. You haven't seen anything yet from the White House make any mention of the fact that we had a service member who died doing something that, as you alluded to, shouldn't have been necessary. Shouldn't have been happening in the first place.
It shouldn't have happened in the first place, and I'm glad you brought that up, Drew. It's not exactly a mystery. You and I both know what's going on. We don't have to play kid games. They don't want anyone paying attention to the border. They don't want anyone knowing it's out of control. So a soldier dies, let's just ignore it. Nevertheless, Joe Biden is the commander-in-chief. Much as I hate the guy's guts, he is the commander-in-chief, and a soldier just died protecting the country. That's worse than the media. How do we not have a statement out of the White House? How did we not have a statement about 15 minutes after Bishop Evans died? How do we not have a statement yet?
You would think so, right? I mean, unfortunately, I think you're probably right that the last thing they want to do is raise any attention of what's happening, right? Because when you talk about it, just simply by talking about the fact that this gentleman lost his life, it begs the question of why. Why was he there in the first place? Why was he in harm's way? Why do we have this problem? And the Biden administration has said repeatedly that there isn't a problem, that there isn't a crisis, that everything's under control. And this, unfortunately, is another proof point that that's simply not the case. And you're right. They should be able to come out a lot more quickly on something like this and put a statement out. Because, Jesse, we've seen when something happens in the other direction. I'm sure you remember back in September when there were allegations that Border Patrol agents had used whips. There was a statement ready to go hot off the presses.
It is funny you brought that up because we actually have a little video on that. Little reminder, Drew.
I was taken aback by a single image that should make you pay attention to a problem. This one. There's a lot here. Yeah, as an image, to me it does smack of a bygone era of slavery, aided by reports of people being beaten, whether with a riding crop or the reins, most likely. You may be drawn to the desperation of the man trying to escape. Others, in the desperation of keeping our borders safe, of what I believe the former president tried to depict as a brown menace at our border.
It does smack of a bygone era, back when Chris Cuomo had a job. But anyway, Drew. Whatever happened with that vicious Border Patrol agent and that whip he was using? How'd that work out in the end?
Yeah, that's a good question, Jesse. And it's interesting, too. You know, I think Cuomo's statement here was preposterous, but they're actually worse. Rashida Tlaib accused the Border Patrol of having carried out, genocide, I think? I mean, the allegations swirling around it were preposterous. War crimes. Sorry, that's what it was. It was war crimes. And so where we are now in the investigation, reporters here and there will ask Jen Psaki what the latest on the investigation is. All we know is that it's still ongoing. It sounds like there was a New York Post scoop about a week ago that it looks like the agents involved are going to be cleared of any wrongdoing. Apparently, the report is final, about 500 pages somehow, but the Biden administration is still waiting on it. They haven't actually released the final findings, which, again, by all indications, aren't going to pan out well for what Biden, the Democrats, and the media had said.
Gosh, what a disgrace. All right, speaking of major stories out there, Joe Biden has been asked repeatedly What's your tie-in with Hunter Biden? Because it's not really debatable at this point in time. Hunter Biden is dirty as dirty gets. So how close is Joe with Hunter? We all remember 10% for the big guy. Joe Biden has repeatedly said, I don't know anything about it. I'm not involved in my son's business. Don't ask me about it. But we had some revelations over the weekend about Joe Biden's time as vice president. What happened, Drew?
Yeah, so while Joe Biden was in the White House as vice president, he had a number of meetings. I want to say just something like 23 meetings with his son Hunter's business partners, people who he has said repeatedly over and over again for the last, you know, however long, over a year now, he has said time and time again, I had no tie-in. I have no tie-in to my son's business deals. And it turns out he's been meeting with the business partners of his son and also his brother, who's a high-powered lobbyist.
Okay. Drew, one more thing today. Elon Musk, everyone knows that's the big news. Elon Musk buying Twitter, it's a big news out there. And one thing I did get a kick out of was it took about 5 seconds for everyone to start claiming he's a Russian agent. It smacks of coming from a foreign power. And you've been all over this from the beginning. Everything from Hunter Biden's laptop, election stuff, everything has to do with Russia. Where does this come from? Is this just a talking point that works for them?
I mean, I think at this point, really, it's more of a tick than anything else, because the Democrats and the press have blamed the Russians for everything, right? We had the Canadian trucker protests, Russian setup, obviously election interference. We had the Russian Trump being in office. We had the Russians. Now, the fact that Elon Musk wants to buy a company is somehow motivated by the Russians. There have been people on Twitter who are alleged that there are Russian oligarchs who are behind this, and that's the driving force through it. Anytime the Democrats or the media see anything that they don't like, their first response, before they can even get to angry racist Republicans, is always the Russian. And, you know, I think what they realized during the Trump years is that this is effective. This is salient. People buy this. When we suggest that it's the Russians who are these evil boogeyman who are driving everything bad in the world, they got clicks. They got attention. They got eyeballs. And so, unfortunately, I think you're going to continue to see that for as long as bad things continue to happen.
Drew, what would you buy if you were a Russian oligarch?
It's a great question. Probably not Twitter. And maybe not a yacht, because it seems like all of those are being impounded.
Yeah.
I don't know. I probably wouldn't buy Twitter. I probably wouldn't buy anything that would put me in the public crosshairs for anyone.
Yeah, I think I would buy a big statue of myself, like a 100-foot one. That's probably what I would have done. Drew Holden, thank you, my brother.
Jesse, pleasure's mine, sir. Thank you.
See you, bud. All right. It's time to lighten the mood. And not only is this going to be entertaining, put a smile on your face, we're going to learn a life lesson. All of us. You ready? Hang on. All right. You may be saying, when I play this light in the mood for you, Jesse, this is kind of old news. This happened a few days ago. And you're right. It is a little old news. It happened a few days ago. But we're going to enjoy watching this idiot get pummeled. And then we're going to have a little talk. Apparently, there was some dude on a plane. He was blasted drunk, kept bothering the gentleman in front of him. Eventually, allegedly, threw a water bottle at the gentleman in front of him. And the thing is, that gentleman was Mike Tyson. How did all that go? Well, here's how it went.
This is George talking to Mike Tyson, bro. This crazy, bro, Mike Tyson. My dog done got lit, man. He over here rapping with Tyson. Mike Tyson trying to give us some shrooms. You don't know how to act. Tyson looking out, man. This crazy.
Should have never gave you his money.
Peasants. They're
peasants.
Never mind.
Hey,
Mike, come on. Let's go stop
back.
There's
always a horse,
man.
JetBlue, mid-flight. My boy just got beat up by Mike Tyson. Turn that way. Yeah, he got f***ed up.
Now, obviously, we can all enjoy that together, and we did enjoy that together, but pull up a chair. Talk to Daddy Jesse for just a moment. If you're a young mother, this may apply to some fathers, but if you're a young mother, undoubtedly, you don't want your little boy, if you have one, you don't want him getting in a fight in school. You don't ever want him to get in a fight in school. I don't want Aiden to get in a fight. Honey, go tell the teacher violence is always wrong. You know, you've heard these things before. Let me tell you something. Violence is not only always not always wrong. Violence sometimes saves lives, and it can save your baby from getting beat up by Mike Tyson. You know why? You know why I know that? You know what type of person sits behind the former heavyweight champion of the world and runs his mouth like that? You know what type of person does that? The type of person, when he was 6, 7, 8 through high school, who never ran his mouth and got sucked in the mouth for it. Getting punched in the mouth is extremely underrated, and it is a necessary thing. I can't speak for women, but for men, it is a necessary thing to learn manners, to learn your place in the world, to learn how to handle your alcohol. You only get beat up by Mike Tyson if you spent your whole life tattling to the teacher instead of getting socked in the face. Socked in the face. Underrated. I'll see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.